Morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to read just a few verses of the scriptures, words of warning, words of invitation, from the Apostle Paul's epistle to the Romans. He says this: I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Oh, friends, where else is there power to cleanse a filthy spirit? Where else, friends, in Brixton or in London, will you find power to cleanse a defiled conscience, a wounded heart? Where else, friends, will you find power to open eyes that are blind? But friends, you have eyes, you won't use them. You have ears, you won't use them. You have a mind, you won't think carefully about spiritual priorities, about spiritual direction, about where you're headed in life, where you're headed after the grave, where you stand even now, friends, under the sight and under the scrutiny of the living God. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Oh, friends, what have you done with that word of hope, that word of life, that word of blessing given to us by the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came down from heaven in glorious humility and simplicity and modesty to warn us with his own broken body and with his own spilt blood of the danger of an unwashed soul? Why, friends, carry on in filth? Why, friends, carry on with a life unwashed and unready for judgment? How will you stand in the audits? How will you stand in the assize? How, friends, will you stand with your heart unwashed and your soul unclean, unfit for prayer, unfit for worship? Every one of us stands condemned under the scrutiny, under the judgment, under the searching of God's law. Which one of God's Ten Commandments have we kept? Friends, look at our hearts. Look at our folly. Look at our darkness and our uncleanness. Oh, friends, which one of God's commandments have we kept? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul and all your strength. But our hearts are like ice. Our hearts are cold and dead. Our very spirits, unclean and unfit for judgment. We need wisdom. We need grace. We need the wonderful gift of repentance. But our friends, you brush God under the carpet. You pretend he's not there. You pretend there is no designer, no creator, no one to give an account to. But our friends, what a sorrow awakening there'll be at the day of your death. Wake up to wisdom while there's still opportunity. Seek that purpose of life. Seek the one who made you for himself. Seek him, friends, before it's too late. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous one his thoughts. Let him return unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Where's the benefit, friends, in a godless life? Where's the outcome of a sinful soul? What's the outcome, friends, of a life lived for self, lived for pleasure, sowing to the flesh, reaping corruption? Where's the benefit, friends, in throwing your very spirit away? Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Again, this is what the apostle says: I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Or, friends, if I discovered the cure for cancer, my research is in the past. If I knew the great secrets of the cosmos, I wouldn't be here out in Brixton preaching on the corner of the streets. But in the love of Christ, there is something very rare, very precious, very deep and very real. Come and seek and find and taste that the Lord is good. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And oh, friends, how we need that wisdom and that help. Please take it and read it. God bless. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is grace and life and help for us. Oh, friends, what have you done with his warnings? Times without number, through the prophets, through the apostles, through his own dear Son, he has warned us, he has called us, he has invited us to life. Where in the scriptures, friends, do you object to his wisdom, to his grace? And yet, friends, we harden our hearts, steel our necks until they're broken, close our eyes with blinkers until we're blinded, truly. Why, friends, you have eyes, why will you not see? You have ears, why will you not hear? You have thoughts and minds, why will you not use them spiritually and wisely? Why not reckon up your days? Don't you realize very shortly we must stand before God? Don't you realize very shortly, friends, we must stand in the judgment, under his gaze, under the searchlight of his law? How will you give an account for the things you've done? How will you give an account for the things you've said, as you are now, unclean and unfit for his presence? Don't you know God is a consuming fire in his brightness? Don't you know, friends, he will judge and weigh us and sift us and search us? Oh, friends, you have forgotten God days without number. The very glory of your being, the very heart of your heart, the very essence of your foundation. And yet you've neglected him. Where is your wisdom? Where is your strength? Where is your grace? Again, this is what the apostle says. For the anger of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And all friends, when you look through the history books, when you look through the current pages of the media, when you look through the internet, how true that is. How men suppress the wisdom of God and the history of God's working in our own nation and of other nations. How we love to airbrush Christ out of history. How we love, friends, to airbrush the great story of his amazing grace out of our history. How foolish, how unwise, how deadly for our children and our grandchildren. How wounding for their spirits in the future. Oh, friends, like lemmings over the cliff, like fools to the abattoir, unready and unfit for the things to come. We need wisdom. We need God's grace. We need that gift of repentance and mercy. Oh, friends, what have you done with his warning word? What have you done with his great commandments? What have you done, friends, with that testimony of judgment we shall surely meet when we enter into his presence? How are you ready for death? You ready to meet with your God as you are now? You're unready, friends. You know it. You see it in your hearts. Unready to meet with the one who will call you to his knee. Unready for that holiness of his searchlights. Unready, friends, for the judgment of his law. Which one of his commandments have you kept? Have you known them? Do you even know his commandments? You know, Solomon says, a fool is content with his own heart. A fool says his own ways are right, and he will not weigh them. He will not fear God. He will not leave evil. Every man's way is clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. He knows us, friends. He knows the uncleanness of our hearts. He knows the wickedness of our being. He knows our great need of repentance, our great need of mercy. He sees the wickedness in Brixton, in London as a whole. He sees the grip Satan has over our hearts and lives. He sees, friends, this great tsunami of wickedness in our own society. He sees the grace we need. Oh, friends, and yet next to such an oasis of hope and mercy and power, we prefer the desert. We prefer to wander in the desert, in the dryness of our own imaginations, of our own self-righteousness. How deadly, how foolish to trust in empty religion, to trust in the religion of our forebears, not to go to the cross, not to trust in Christ, not to know the great Lamb of God who alone takes away the sin of the world. Friends, where's the pleasure in living for pleasure? Where's the point in living for sin? Where's the outcome in living for the flesh? Where's the outcome, friends, in leading an unclean, unspiritual life? We need his grace. We need his wonderful wisdom. We need his wonderful power. And here it is in the cross. In that free gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is eternal life. There is a clean heart. There is washing for our sin. Why, friends, have you thrown your soul away? Why, friends, have you hardened your hearts against his wisdom and against his grace? Seek him and turn to him while he still may be found. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous one his thoughts. Let him return unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Friends, where is your hope? Where is your strength in the day of days, in the day of assize, in the day of audit, in the day when you stand before him, naked and open before him, every secret laid plain? How will you stand, friends, without mercy, without forgiveness, without repentance? Do you think God is a benign grandfather? No, friends. The anger of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Oh, friends, we need God's law to show us our own diagnosis, to show us the uncleanness of our hearts, to show us our great spiritual need, to show us, friends, the root of the brokenheartedness of our spirits. Only in Christ, only in the great Messiah, only in the Alpha and the Omega, is there mercy and grace to wash us and to cleanse us. Where are you headed, friends? Down to the abattoir of souls, sleepwalking down to hell, sleepwalking to judgment. Wake up to wisdom. Wake up to his call and his grace. Haven't you heard the words of the Saviour? The way to destruction is broad, and many there are who go in it. Follow your own pleasures, follow your own imagination, and where will you be? Oh, friends, seek his wisdom and his grace while he's still near at hand. Again, this is what the apostle says. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Have you ever considered a dragonfly's wing? Have you ever considered the iridescence of a butterfly's wing? Things that a fashion designer would give their right eye for. But our friends, here in the most simple of God's creatures, is something that far surpasses the ingenuity of the best human designers. Why is that, friends? If this is a product of fitness and survival, if this is the product of natural selection, why such exuberance? Why such ascetic? Why such beauty? Why such majesty? Why such amazing diversity? There is a God. His ways are manifestly plain so that they leave us without excuse. Oh, friend, only a fool says there is no designer. Only an idiot says there is no master genius behind the universe. Listen, friends, we hear about this news about phosphates being created between the galaxies, and that somehow being the key to abiogenesis. Rubbish! Rubbish! Look at a cell. What else, friends? Where else will you find such engineering, such ingenuity, such glorious design as you see in the human cell? Nanotechnology on a scale we could never imagine, never match, certainly never surpass. And then we say there is no God? We say there is no creator? Friends, we need our heads examining. How foolish, how dead, how unthinking to neglect the very architect of our being, to neglect the very designer of our souls, not to know his ways. Dear friends, what have you done with his warning? What have you done with his call? The apostle says here, so that they are without excuse. How true that is. How real that is, friends. In a court of law, we say something has to be beyond reasonable doubt. In the scriptures, he says, no, you are without excuse, utterly without excuse for rejecting his being, for not taking heed to his word and his warning. That, friends, which our forebears and our forefathers knew the wisdom of and the grace and the power of, we have neglected. How dangerous, how foolish, how careless. You know what the prophet Jeremiah says? He says, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? Where is their strength? Where is their ingenuity? Where is the strength of psychiatry or psychology? When we reject the very architect of our being, the very author and diagnostician of our condition, where is our strength? Where is our wisdom? Where is our wisdom in dealing with anorexia nervosa? Where is our wisdom in dealing, friends, with serious depression? Why are our GPs dishing out antidepressants by the thousands, the hundreds of thousands, even the millions? Friends, we have neglected the very root of our being. We have neglected the word of God and what wisdom is in us. We have neglected his kindness and his judgments. We have neglected his law. And oh, friends, we're reaping a harvest of corruption. Is it not so? Jeremiah said wisely, they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. No peace to the wicked. They're like the troubled sea that casts up its filth. So are our hearts, friends, without repentance. So are our hearts without the gift of God. So are our hearts, friends, without that great Lamb of God, who alone takes away the sin of the world. Friends, don't you know the blood price of sin? Don't you know the terrible price of the covenant of God? It must be paid in the penalty of sin. It must be paid by a blood sacrifice. What was the difference between those two religious men, Abel and Cain? Both offered up an offering. One was rejected and cursed. The other received and blessed. What was the difference between Abel and Cain? One knew he deserved to die. The other offered up his good works. Which do you stand? Which camp do you stand in, friends? Do you know the wages of sin? Do you know you deserve to die for sin? Do you know we deserve to be in hell under God's judgments? You're already under his indignation. You're already under his purview. You're already on waiting time, waiting as it were on death row for judgments. In Christ is solid mercy. In Christ is solid hope for our dark and foolish generation. How much we need his grace. How much we need his help. Oh, friends, why have you neglected wisdom? Why have you neglected his warning words? Why have you neglected his great kindness and goodness? Why, friends, do you turn away from his patience? In the Saviour, there is light for our dark generation. Again, this is what the Apostle says. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. What an epitaph for our generation. We think of ourselves as educated, and yet how ignorant we are of the most basic realities. How to raise a child in godliness. How to keep a long-term relationship together. How to love God. How to walk with Him. How to pray. The most basic spiritual realities we're ignorant of. So educated, and yet so unlearned. So ununderstanding. We need His wisdom. We need His word. We need His spirit. Oh, friends, seek Him. And turn to Him while He's still near at hand. Go to Him for life and for grace while He's still near at hand. The Apostle says, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. Wherefore God also gave them up. Do you not see that's what He's done with us? Given us up to homosexuality. Given us up to strange and foolish lusts. Given us over to vice and to uncleanness. The Lord God has taken away the restraints. Taken away, friends, that natural embarrassment and shame that should keep us from sin. Taken away the restraints of evil. And oh, friends, He's giving us over to an unclean heart. What a tragedy. What a shame. What a portrait of wickedness we are in our society. We need His grace. Where sin abounds, there grace did much more abound. Oh, friends, look at the life of Zacchaeus or Magdalene. How he loved to bless them. How he loved to help them. What is the word of the gospel? Ultimately, it's a word of hope. It's not a word of gloom. It's very realistic. Its warnings are very sharp. But what is the word of the gospel? It is a word of hope and life from the dead. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Oh, friends, you think the Bible is a book of myths and fables? You're not. If you were an archaeologist in Jerusalem, friends, you'd be using the Tanakh as your guidebook. Don't you realize that? Even today, the archaeologists in Jerusalem pore over the pages of Kings and Chronicles for light, for guidance, for help. Yet another discovery that corroborates Jeremiah. Yet another discovery that corroborates Isaiah. Yet another discovery that corroborates Kings or Chronicles or Samuel. And yet you say the Bible is a book of myths? Oh, friends, wake up before it's too late. Don't throw away your soul. Don't live in darkness. Don't live in willful ignorance. Don't be like an ostrich and go down with the rest of your generation to hell. Wake up to wisdom. Wake up to grace while he may still be found. Here is what Jeremiah says. They have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? Where's their wisdom? Where's their strength when it comes to moral matters? Where's their resistance to temptation? We're a generation of jellyfish. A generation of self-indulgent ones. A generation of self-pamperers. We need wisdom. We need repentance. We need light and life. Oh, friends, why have you hardened your hearts against the living God? Why have you neglected His wisdom? Why have you neglected His warning and His call? Why have you neglected His kindness and His mercy? Hello.
Hello. How you call this one? You call
the Bible.
How you call Yeshua?
Yeshua HaMashiach. How do you know his name?
I'm Hebrew, sir.
You are Hebrew?
I'm Hebrew, yeah.
May I ask, do you come from Israel originally?
Sorry?
Do you come from Israel originally?
No, I come from Romania.
Romania. Ah, God bless.
Thank you, Mark.
May I give you something to read, or you... It is the heart of this message. It's a very old translation.
Thank you very much, sir.
God bless you.
Have a good day.
God bless. Oh, friends, how we need the wisdom of God and the warning of God and the kindness of God in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Do you think, friends, when God warns us about hell, he's lying? He's deceiving? When God warns us about sin, do you think he's playing games? Do you think he's exaggerating? When he warns us, friends, about the danger of lying or adultery or sex outside of marriage or homosexuality or easy divorce, do you think God is exaggerating? No, friends. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. When he warns us of the danger of sin, he warns us with all his being. Friends, here's a disease worse than Ebola, worse than AIDS. Here's a poison worse than Novichok, worse than polonium. It poisons the very soul. It ruins the very spirits. Pride, or self-righteousness, or deceit wrecks us from within. We need wisdom. We need humility. We need repentance. Where will you find it outside of the cross? Where will you find it, friends, outside of that message of transformation, only to be found in the scriptures? Where's the power of the other religions, friends? Where's the power of Muhammad, or Confucius, or Guru Nanak, or Gautama Siddhartha, or the other varied protesters and pretenders? Only Christ was without sin. Only Christ lived blamelessly and purely. Even the Quran witnesses to that. Only Christ was fit to bear our sin. Only Christ can lift us up out of the place of darkness. Only Christ is the light of this dark world. Only the Saviour is the Alpha and the Omega, the Aleph and the Tau. Only Christ can lift us up out of the cesspool of sin. Oh, friends, why do you content yourselves with filth? Why do you content yourselves with rubbish? Why do you content yourselves with the husks of pigs? Why have you given your life to something wasteful and ruinous? Where, friends, is the grace of God in your life? Where, friends, is the gift of God in your life? Seek Him and turn to Him while He's still near at hand. In Christ, there is power to change you. Doesn't matter how dark you've been. Doesn't matter how foolish. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A real Christian won't be ever the same again. Oh, friends, have you a friend who claims to be a Christian and he has sex outside of marriage? He divorces readily? He's homosexual? He chases after things of the flesh. Friends, he's a pretender. He's lying. He doesn't know the reality, the power of the gospel. The grace of God, which brings salvation, leads us to self-denial. Leads us, friends, to grace. Leads us to holiness and to righteousness and to power. Oh, friends, God commands all men everywhere to repent. Where's the benefit in a godless life? Where's the benefit in chasing after wealth for its own sake? Don't you know what the scriptures say about such? It says, greed for gain takes away the very life of the owners thereof. Those who chase after money for its own sake ruin their own spirits, wreck their own future, destroy their own families, pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Oh, friends, how foolish, how unwise, how careless not to know the grace of God, not to know His wonderful power. Seek Him and turn to Him while He's still near at hand. I'd like to read to you two words of the Apostle Paul to Titus, where he says this: for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. What a wonderful thing. Amazing grace, we sing. But our friends, have you ever looked at the life of the man who wrote those words? What a despicable and evil man he was before God touched his life. John Newton, slave trader, blasphemer, preacher of unrighteousness, a godless man through and through before God touched him. But our friends, in answer to the prayers of his pious mother, how he was transformed, how he was changed from a servant and slave of Satan into a lover of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, the appearing of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, don't you know He's coming back? Not next time in humility, not next time in simplicity and modesty, but at next time as the King of Kings, the one to whom every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, the one, friends, who is supremely above all power and principality, dominion and authority, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Oh, friends, where will you be in that day of days if you don't know Him? If you don't love Him? If you don't recognize why He came? Why did the Savior come? Did he come to condemn us? Did he come just to set us an example? He came to take us by the scruff of the neck and pull us out of the quagmire of sin. He came, friends, to warn us with his own broken body, with his own spilt blood, of the need of forgiveness, the need of repentance, the need of a new heart and a new spirit. How much we need that, dear Saviour. How much we need his grace and his power. Oh, friends, don't despise his patience. Don't despise his goodness. Why have you thrown your soul away? Why have you hardened your heart? Why have you closed your eyes? Why, friends, have you neglected that which is for your own good? Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. In the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is power to change us, to wash us, to cleanse us, to renew our whole spirits and being. Why, friends, have you neglected the gift of the Spirit? Why have you neglected his warnings and his kindness? Why have you neglected those manifold predictions of his coming? Do you really think the Bible holds no weight, holds no water? Oh, friends, haven't you read the predictions? Haven't you read the prophecies? Don't you know how the details of ancient prophecy were worked out in the life and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Even the dividing of his clothes, even the manner of his death, even the piercing of his side, even the crowning of his head was foreseen and foretold by the prophets centuries before he came. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Why have you pierced Christ? Why have you taken his name as a curse? Why have you neglected his warning? Why have you neglected that bread of life and chosen for yourselves junk foods, spiritual rubbish, things that only spoil, things that only deprave the soul, things that only rob you and degrade you and debase you, things that wrap you in chains? Friends, turn back from sin before it becomes your ruin. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Where's the benefit in a godless life? Where's the outcome of an unbelieving heart? Oh, friends, you're feeding on ashes, feeding a deceived heart on things that will bring no benefit, no lasting spiritual nourishment. Christ said, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that trusts in me shall never thirst. In Christ, there is the light of our dark souls. In Christ, there is the power of our strengthless spirits. Seek him. Turn to him. In Christ, there is the glorious fountain of life. To wash us, to bless us, to transform us. But our friends, London prefers its sin. London prefers its own doom, its own ruin, its own awful judgment. Friends, turn back. Save yourselves from this crooked and untoward generation. Seek wisdom. Seek understanding. Get hold of understanding and perception. Don't go down with the lemmings to darkness. Don't go, friends, down the course of the world into the outer darkness, where there's only weeping and gnashing of teeth and sorrow forever. Seek life. Seek his word. Seek his grace and his call. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the great Prince of Peace. There, friends, is the master of our spirits. There is the master diagnostician. He knows our hearts. He knows our wickedness. He knows our real state. He knows the roots of our ill-ease. He knows how to apply the deepest remedies of the heart. In him, and in him alone, is the binding up of the brokenhearted, as he promised, as was foretold of him in Isaiah 61. Of course I do, yes. I'm sorry, I'm not going to help you now. I'm not going to help you now. I'll give you something to read. If you hang around, I might buy you some breakfast later, but not now. God bless. Oh, friends, we need his grace. We need his warning. We need his testimony. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there and there alone is the remedy of our sin-sick souls. There alone, friends, is the light of our dark spirits. What have you done with his warning? What have you done with his kindness? What have you done with his great command? Dear friends, seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. I'd like to read to you, friends, a few words from the scriptures, words of warning, words of invitation. This is the commission of any ordinary preacher. He says this: I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant. In season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and the time is now, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap up for themselves teachers having itching ears. For they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall turn aside unto fables. What, friends, is evolution but a grand fable designed to do away with the architect, the designer of the world? Oh, friends, what idiocy, what moronity to say that a living cell, a self-replicating, self-repairing entity, could come into being by chance. What nonsense, friends, say biogenesis is. What hopeless non-science it is to say that a living being can come into being by chance. No, friends. Look at the simplest of God's creatures. Look at the architecture. Look at the glorious nanotechnology. Look at the extraordinary sophistication of DNA editing. And then, friends, wonder at its creator, at its designer, at its master craftsman. There is a God. There is a designer. One to whom we must give an account. One who knows us. One who searches us. One who calls us to his own knee. Seek him. And turns him. While he's still near at hand. Oh, friends. Here we are this morning. Coming on this afternoon.
Mate,
warning you. Warning you, friends. You need to be ready for the judgment. And you're not. You're naked and bare and unready for any kind of judgment at all.
Who's judging?
You're not ready to stand before God.
I am. I'm standing before God.
You're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
We are.
You're unclean and unfit.
Who's
and
unclean?
Unready.
I'm fit.
Every
I'm
one
clean.
Of us.
No, I'm
there
clean.
There is no
I'm
one fit,
this morning.
No one clean, no one righteous, no, not one.
I'm fit. I'm right.
You're as filthy as sin itself.
Who is?
You are.
Who said that?
The living God.
Who
in his
that?
Word
who
and in his warning.
Who is the
morning.
Living God?
The one who lives
where?
And reigns above.
Isn't anybody up there?
There certainly is.
Who is it?
The one who gives you your next breath and your next heartbeat.
Who's that?
The one who sustains
who
you.
Who is it though?
The living God.
Who is that?
The creator of our being.
Who is that?
In him is the Father, the Son,
I
and the
know
Holy
that.
Spirit. In him
but
is
who
the Father,
it?
The Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is
who
the great
is
being who brought us into
but
being.
But who is it?
Yahweh.
Have you touched him?
Yahweh.
Have you touched him?
I've known
have you seen him?
I've known him more closely than I know you by touching. Sorry, I've got this.
He's spit on us.
Sorry about
that's
that.
That's fucking rude, isn't it?
I'm sorry about that, but that's the way it is.
What is it? You spit on people.
If you want to...
are you judging people?
God judges you by his word.
But you're not God, though, are you?
God judges you by his word.
I know he does.
I'm declaring his word.
You're spitting on us again.
If you want to move away...
spitting on us.
If you want to move aside,
yeah,
that's fine.
You.
I will.
Get on then, fuck off.
Friends, we need to be ready for
isn't
judgment.
Friends here?
And we're unready. We're unready for his judgment.
You're wasting
our hearts are filthy.
You're wasting your breath.
Our hearts
you're
are unclean.
We stand
before his judgment.
Judgment.
Unready, unclean, unfit.
Unfit.
And our friends, how dark, how evil, how foolish our hearts are. How selfish, how unclean, how bitter our thoughts and our being are. You know what the prophet Jeremiah says? He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Oh, friends, do you know how unclean your own heart is? How deceitful, how foolish? Do you know, friends, how in bondage you are to Satan and to sin? Do you know how you can do nothing of your own will freely? How you're bound in sin, bound in uncleanness, bound over to judgment. Friends, by nature we are slaves of sin.
Correct.
By nature we're slaves of uncleanness.
Didn't spit on us.
Move away then.
Yeah, move away.
Well, I have twice, three times, four times. And you still
that's
want
my
to stand
spot.
In my face.
That's my spot.
Still
I'm busking there.
Face.
I'm busking there.
You're not.
I was there this morning.
I'm afraid you're not.
Who are you preaching to?
You can preach.
Who are you preaching to?
Many people around.
There's nobody listening to you.
There are many
there's
people listening.
There's nobody listening.
There are many.
There's nobody listening.
You were listening to
there's
one, and there are many of us. There are many.
There's nobody listening. There's nobody there.
There are many.
There are nobody there.
Well, I should carry on preaching. You can bust beside me. Oh, friends, wake up to his wisdom and his grace. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Don't throw away the opportunity of mercy. Don't throw away the opportunity of repentance. Seek him. Turn to him while he's still near at hand. Friends, God warns us. God calls us. God declares to us, if you will not repent, you shall all likewise perish. Do you think these terrible tragedies in Indonesia, friends, are a kind of cosmic accident? They're a warning to us. A warning of judgment. A warning of death. A warning of judgment to follow. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Oh, friends, where is your heart? Where is your life? Where is your hope? If you don't know the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't know his love and his grace, seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. God so loved this filthy, rebellious, wicked world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here is the life raft. Here, friends, is the life rope. But you won't release it. You won't receive it. You ignore his kindness and his goodness. Where, friends, is your wisdom? Where is your strength? On the deathbed, when you face him face to face, how will you give an account for the things you've said and done? How, friends, will you answer an angry conscience? How, friends, will you respond to the one who asked you those solemn questions? Where was your righteousness? Where was your worship? Where was your prayer? Where was your life? Seek him and turn to him now while he's still near at hand. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, friends, how much we need that gift. How much we need that goodness. How much we need that great patience and kindness. Why have you thrown it away? Why have you neglected it? Why have you cast the law of God underfoot? Why have you thrown him behind your back? Why have you re-crucified him to yourselves afresh? You say you don't believe in Christ. Why then do you take his name as a curse, times without number? You say you don't believe in God in your folly. Why then do you trample his name underfoot with gratuitous pleasure? Why, friends, are you an enemy of God in your very heart? You know how the scriptures describe us? It says the heart, man is enmity to God. Not at enmity, the abstract itself. We are enmity against God. Our hearts, our thoughts, our lives express a constant and unceasing hostility against God. We need mercy. We need wisdom. We need the gift of repentance. We need life from the grave. Where is the benefit, friends, in a life lived for self? A life lived for pleasure. You know what the scriptures say about a man or a woman who chases after pleasure? It says they're dead while we still live. Is that what you want to do? Live like a zombie? Dead while you still live? Unseeing, unhearing, unthinking, unmindful of the glory of God? You know, there's a great king called Belshazzar who lived like that. He was a party boy. He lived for wine, women and song. And in the day of his death, the prophet Daniel said this to him. The God in whose hands your very ways are and whose your very breath is, you haven't glorified. You haven't glorified. Do you know what our lives are for, friends? Do you know why we're here? Do you know where we're headed after death? To glorify God. To enjoy him if we know him. To love him, to follow him. In Christ, there is the key to heaven. In Christ, there is the key to life. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Oh, friends, what have you done with your dark soul? What have you done with your foolish spirit? What have you done with your sins? Left them unconfessed? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins to Christ, not to a Roman priest, not to some paedophile priest, some foolish man who claims to represent the living God, no, to Christ himself, the arch-confessor, the only one who is pure and holy. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Who else can cleanse away sin? Can Muhammad? Can Confucius? Can Guru Nanak? Can Gautama Siddhartha the Buddha? Can the writers of Bhagavad Gita? Friends, their own lives were filthy. Their own lives were stained by idolatry. Their own lives are ruined and wrecked. We need wisdom. We need his grace. We need his wonderful power. Seek him. Turn to him. Ask him for grace, for life, while he's still near at hand. Don't despise the goodness and the patience of the living God. He watches for our repentance. He waits for our return. He calls us. He seeks us like a shepherd after his lost sheep. But our friends, if you carry on as you are now, where will you be in the day of days? How will you face the angel at judgment? How will you face that strict examination of your own spirit? How will you face that weighing under his law? Which one of his commandments have you kept? Which one of his precepts have you guarded? Friends, our lives are a testimony to a shipwreck. Our lives are a broken series of promises. A broken series of wreckages. We need mercy. We need repentance. We need the gift of His Holy Spirit. We need that gift of the cross. And in Christ, there and there alone, is the remedy for our darkened souls. Only in the cross. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What an exchange. What an amazing substitution. Our sin for His righteousness. What took place at the cross? The most glorious triumph of all. The entrance into paradise. What took place at the cross? The very opening up of God's heart and God's pleasure. Dear friends, seek Him. Read His words. Read His warnings before it's too late. You say to me, how do we know the Bible is true? How do we know it's creditable? How do we know, friends? If only you were to go to the British Museum, look through its galleries with a little guidebook, how you'd see, friends, how reliable, how accurate, how detailed the scriptures predictions and prophecies have been. When he described the great fall of Shalmaneser, the great king of Assyria, how he would be crushed at Jerusalem, how quickly the prophecy came to. When he described the ruin of Tyre and Sidon, how quickly it came true. You think Sodom and Gomorrah are a myth? Go down into the valley of the Dead Sea, friends. See where the archaeologists tell us there's now a million graves in what was once a fertile valley. Sodom and Gomorrah are set forth as an eternal example of vengeance, of God's vengeance on our sin. We need mercy. We need wisdom. We need preparation for that day of days. How will you stand in His presence? How will you stand without mercy, without repentance, without a new heart? The Lord Jesus Christ said, you must be born again. You must be born again. A religious life is useless. It's corrupt. In fact, it aggravates our problems. We need a new heart and a new spirit. Same as the Hebrew prophets themselves warned us beforehand. We need a new heart and a new spirit. Not this heart of stone. Not this heart of ingratitude. Not this heart of ignorance and folly. Oh, friends, you're like an ostrich this morning, hiding your head in the sand, ignorant of the law of God, ignorant of the purpose of God, ignorant of the plans and the love and the kindness of the living God, ignorance of His amazing patience, ignorant of His wise arguments, ignorant, friends, of His call and His invitation. Seek Him. Turn to Him. Ask Him for grace and for life while He's still near at hand. Oh, friends, what have you done with your spirit? What have you done with your soul? What have you done with your record? Here's the word of the Apostle Paul. He says this. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and to doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Friends, a better description of the Catholic Church you won't find in all the scriptures. Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, the harlot church, the pretend church, the church that commits adultery with sin. Oh, friends, we need wisdom. We need purity. We need the gift of repentance. We need a life transformed and changed by His grace. Seek Him and turn to Him while He's still near at hand. Again, the words of the Apostle, he says this. For there is one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. Friends, we are by nature under His indignation. We're under, by nature, under His curse. By nature, we're born under His into disobedience. We're not children of God by nature. We're children of disobedience. Children of the curse. Children of His wrath. Under His curse and under His indignation. We need mercy. We need grace. We need light and life. And where will you find it? Outside of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, seek Him and turn to Him while He's still near at hand. Don't throw away the opportunity of mercy. Ask Him for grace and for kindness while He may still be found. Go to Him, friends, for help and for grace. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there and there alone is the hope of our dark and foolish generation. In Christ, there is the light of our dark society. In Christ, there is resurrection and the life. We need Him, friends. We need His grace. We need His wisdom and His power. Seek Him and turn to Him while He's still near at hand. Oh, friends, what have you done with His warnings? What have you done with His grace? What have you done with His great kindness and patience? What have you done with His faithfulness? Look at the cross. In the cross, there is the great triumph, the great victory of the Lord Jesus Christ over sin, over death. There he nailed his adversary to the cross. He brought principalities and powers to ruin. In the cross, there is that great place of victory and triumph over darkness. There, by death, he destroyed death. In Christ, there is the great first fruits of everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What have you done with this warning? What have you done with his grace? What have you done with his great mercy and his kindness? Seek him and turn to him while he may still be found. Oh, friends, where's the benefit in a godless life? Where's the heart's ease in a life lived for pleasure? Where, friends, is the contentment in a life lived for sin? You won't find it. Look at the prodigal son. He chased after pleasure. He wrecked his own soul. He wrecked his own future. He wrecked his own family. He dishonored his own name. He brought himself to pig's husks. Oh, friends, don't be foolish. Don't be careless. Seek after life. Seek after wisdom. Turn to him while he's still near at hand. Ask him for grace and for mercy. You know, the prophet Isaiah says this very simply. All day long I have stretched forth my hands to a gainsaying and a foolish people. You think it's a strange experience? No. The Lord Jesus Christ was without comeliness, without form, without appearance, that we should desire him. And yet, in Christ is the very foundation stone of God's plan. Why is it, friends? He chose to shut us out from the social media, shut us out from the media, the mainstream media, shut us out from the BBC and the mainstream channels, but Christ's word will prevail. God's word is not bound. God's word will speak. I'd like to read to you this morning, friends, words from the Proverbs, words of mercy, words of life, and words of warning. This is what Solomon said. Whoso commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He that commits adultery destroys his own soul. Do you realize that? Sex outside of marriage is a terrible wound. A terrible wound in the heart and in the life. It degrades us. It debases us. It degrades us. It enslaves us. Sex outside of marriage will bring us into judgment. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed that is sexual intercourse undefiled. But adulterers and fornicators, God will judge. Friends, the covenant of marriage is given with good reason. It's not a human institution. It's given by divine ordinance. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But adulterers and fornicators, God will judge. We need to fear this. We need to be aware of it. It's no good wrecking future generations, our own children and grandchildren. We need wisdom. We need repentance. We need to seek him. Oh, friends, our government's planning to bring in easy divorce, to make abortion decriminalized, to wreck the lives of our future generations yet more and more, to debauch and to defile those who live even more than they are now. But our friends, we must stand against it. We must protest. Marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But adulterers and fornicators, that's those who sleep around outside of marriage, God will judge. Don't you realize that, friends? Judgment stands over us like a sword, waiting for us. We need repentance. We need mercy. We need to comply with his law and his wisdom. We need to seek his ways and his heart. Marriage is given for very good purposes. It's the very heart of the seventh commandment. Marriage is given to us, friends, to guard the children, to safeguard family life, to keep us holy and happy and patient. But our friends, how we've defiled God's law. How we've taken the things that are holy and clean and profaned them and ruined them. Marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But adulterers and fornicators, God will judge. Oh, friends, sex outside of marriage ruins us. This is what Solomon says. He who commits adultery lacks understanding. He gets a wound to his or her own soul. How many wounded spirits there are in Brixton? How many wounded hearts there are in Brixton? How many defiled consciences? How many wrecked and ruined lives? We need his grace. We need his healing. We need his wonderful gift of repentance. We need the gift of his Holy Spirit. And oh, friends, you can't live a Christian life and live in sex outside of marriage. You can't love the Lord Jesus Christ and walk after homosexuality. You can't love the Lord Jesus Christ and chase after a profane and godless lifestyle. It cannot be done. You can't take the members of Christ and unite them with the harlot. We need mercy. We need repentance. We need His great grace and His kindness. Seek Him and turn to Him while He's still near at hand. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous one his thoughts. Let him return unto our God, for He will abundantly pardon. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is solid mercy. There is solid repentance. There is the gift of heaven itself. There is wisdom incarnate. There is His glorious power. Will Muhammad save you from sin? Will Confucius? Will Gautama Siddhartha? They're sinners themselves, friends. They haven't the power to deliver themselves from the chains, let alone others. In Christ, there and there alone is the solid rock. In Christ, there alone is the Alpha and the Omega. There is the Prince of the Kings of the Earth. There is the Lord of death and time. In Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, there, friends, is life from the dead. There is the breath of our nostrils. Why have you lived, friends, for pleasure? Why are you living for vanity? Why are you living for futility? Why don't you realize we're shortly to return to the dust? Don't you realize, friends, we're shortly to return to that which from we came from? Our lives are like a morning flower. It rises and flourishes and then perishes, like a morning cloud. What about eternity? What about God's presence? What about holiness? What about worship? What about prayer? What about virtue? Where are these things in Brixton? We need His mercy. We need His grace. We need the gift of repentance. We need a new heart and a new spirit. Friends, where's the benefit in living selfishly? Where's the outcome in living for pleasure? Where's the outcome in living for the flesh? Sowing to the flesh, reaping corruption. We need His wisdom and His grace. You know what the scriptures call a man or a woman who lives for pleasure? Dead while he lives. A zombie. Unclean. Unfit. Unready. Already half in the tomb. Under Satan's dominion, in the grip of darkness. Oh, friends, we need His life. We need His mercy. Only in the Lord Jesus Christ, only in the cross, is mercy and grace to cover our sin. What have you done with His warning? Why do you think the Savior suffered and died? Why do you think He cried out those solemn words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why do you think at the end of the cross He cried that triumphant cry, it is finished? What do you think He was finishing? What do you think He was doing? In Christ, there is an offering made for sin, our sin, if we turn to Him. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In Christ, there is the great Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Oh, friends, who's paid for your sin? Who's paid for your records? Who's discharged your debts? Who has broken your chains? Or are you rattling them all the way down to perdition? All the way down to outer darkness? Don't you know the consequence of a life lived for self? Don't you know the outcome of a life lived for pleasure? Don't you know where you're headed, friends, if you carry on as you are now? Seek Him and turn to Him while He's still near at hand. In the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is mercy, there is washing, there is power to bless us.
We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You're doing a very good thing. Just read the good news in
here. You're very kind. Thank you. What's your name?
Derek.
God bless you. Charles.
All right, Charles.
Pray for us, Derek. Pray for us. Oh, friends, how much we need His mercy. Hear the words of the prophet Jeremiah. The heart is deceitful above all things. Do you know your heart? Do you know your own nature? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The Hebrew has the word incurable, anos. And our friends, so it is. In our heart of hearts is a poison worse than polonium. In our heart of hearts is a poison worse than Novichok. More deadly, more paralyzing, more blinding, more deadly. Our friends, selfishness and self-pleasure and chasing after self ruins us. It wrecks us. It destroys our spirits and our hearts. He who saves his life shall lose it. He who loses his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Oh, friends, what have you done with this warning? What have you done with this glorious call? Turn back from sin. Look, friends, where's the benefit in living for pleasure? Where's the benefit in living for the here and now? Where's the benefit in living just as you are, for this present existence? Where's the outcome, friends, in living selfishly, carelessly, recklessly, living just for violence, living just for dancing, living just for drinking and drug taking? Where's the outcome, friends? Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In the Lord Jesus Christ, in the cross, there is solid mercy to help us and to bless us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Is that your state this morning? You think you're sinless? You think you're ready for heaven? You think you're ready for God? Not knowing he's a consuming fire in his brightness. Look, friends, even his choice servants, he dismissed and banished from his presence. When the Saviour came, he's like a consuming fire in his brightness to refine us, to purify us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Solomon says very simply, every man's way is clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. He knows the weight of our spirit. He knows whether we're chaff, whether we're stubble, whether we're fit only for burning, whether we're ready for judgment or not. Oh, friends, you know what the Lord said through Daniel in the last day of his life to Belshazzar? Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. You're weighed in the balances and found wanting. Your days are numbered. You'll shortly be separated, soul from body. What about you, friends? Where do you stand? Where do you stand before the living God? Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Ask him for a new heart. Ask him for a new spirit. Don't throw away the opportunities. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Again, this is what Malachi says. Last of the prophets, behold, I send my messenger. He will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight, he shall come. But who may abide the day of his coming? Who may abide the day of his coming? When he comes, people like a refiner's fire. People like soap to purify, to purge our hearts and our spirits. Who may abide the day of his coming? That day shall burn up like a furnace. Rottenness and corruption, selfishness and pride within us. Friends, we need preparation. We need repentance. We need the gift of mercy and grace. We need a new heart. Throw away the old sins. Shake off the dust of a godless and a foolish life. Wake up to reality. Wake up to the fact there is a designer, an architect, a glorious framer of all that is. Friends, how we need his mercy. How we need his grace and his kindness. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They're abominable. Oh, friends, when we reject the very being of God, what corruption follows, what uncleanness grips our hearts and sinks us lower and lower into the abyss of sin and uncleanness. When we reject the very holiness and the being of God and his law, when we reject his dear Son, when we reject the provision for sin, we become like dark creatures of the darkness, sinking further and further into the black hole of our own transgression. We need his mercy. We need his washing. Friends, what have you done with his warning? What have you done with his call? What have you done with his testimony? Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Behold, the day comes that shall burn like an oven. All the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. Don't you realize who God is? Don't you know what God is like? Do you think this terrible tragedy in Indonesia is a rare exception? Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We need repentance. We need mercy. We need his grace and his kindness. We need his wonderful power. Dear friends, seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. All the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be stubble. In the light of the sentence of the living God, in the light of his law, where do you stand? Are you wheat to be gathered into the barn, or are you chaff, fit only to be burnt up in the day of days? Selfish, careless, self-loving, self-pampering, self-seeking. Or, friends, putting number one first, how dangerous, how foolish, how neglectful, how careless of your own children and grandchildren. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him for grace while he's still near at hand. All the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. The day that comes shall burn like an oven. It shall leave them neither roots nor branch. Friends, we need repentance. We need mercy. We need cleansing for sin. We need to leave aside sex outside of marriage. We need to leave aside the things that wound and disgrace, deceit, jealousy, malice, uncleanness, pride, selfish religion. In Christ and in Christ alone, there is real power to bless us, to help us, to heal our darkened spirits. Only in the Lord Jesus Christ there is real power to lift us up out of the grave of a selfish and a careless life. Turn to him while he's still near at hand. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth, and you shall tread the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. O proud man, O rich man, where will your riches be in the day of judgment? O man who gathers your treasures for this life and for this short, brief existence, where will your treasures be very shortly? Where will your heart be very shortly? Friends, there is a judgment, there is a weighing, there is an audit. We need grace, we need wisdom, we need his wonderful gift of repentance. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. In the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is mercy to wash us and to bless us. In Christ is the great fountain of life to deal with us kindly, to wash away our sin, to renew our spirits. Dear friends, seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. I'd like to read words of the prophet Zechariah about 550 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet it's written as though it took place on the very day of Calvary. In that day there shall be a fountain opened up to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. A fountain opened up to slake our thirst. A fountain opened up to give us life. A fountain opened up to cleanse and to wash. What have you done with your filth? What have you done with the dirt, the darkness of your heart? What have you done with the selfishness and the folly, the lust and the pride? What have you done with the deceitfulness of your own spirit, the covetous greed that ruins you? What have you done, friends, with the chains by which Satan binds you? In Christ is a fountain of life. The old fountain of life, still flowing, still powerful, still remediating, still standing. In Christ is the great fountain of life to bless us, to wash us, and to cleanse us. Oh, friends, don't throw away the gift of God. Don't throw away the opportunity of mercy. Don't throw away the opportunity of reading his word. As you read those scriptures, they read you. As you analyze those pages, they analyze you. As you weigh his verdict, he weighs you. And he finds you wanting. He finds you unready. He finds you in need. He finds you, friends, in great darkness. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Ask him for grace. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him, friends, for a clean heart and a washed spirit. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have no sin, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. Is that your condition this morning, friends? Content to make God a liar. You'll belie God. You'll say he's fake news rather than accept his verdict, rather than acknowledge his justice, rather than acknowledge his understanding, rather than see he speaks to us clearly and plainly. We need his mercy. We need his washing. Friends, what have you done with his warning? What have you done with his call? What have you done with his great grace and kindness? Seek him. In Christ, there and there alone is the penalty paid for sin. In Christ, there and there alone is the removing of our curse. Don't you realize you stand under a curse this afternoon? Don't you realize you stand under the indignation and the anger of God? Unclean, unwashed, unfit, We need his grace. We need his great goodness. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know the labyrinth of a human heart, the poison of the human spirit? Only God knows what's in our hearts, in our minds, how much we need cleansing, how much we need transformation, how much we need that gift of a new birth. Why have you wrecked your soul? Why have you ruined your future? Why are you living for degradation? Why, friends, have you neglected your own soul? Why have you been so foolish? Why have you been so ignorant? Why have you neglected the words of wisdom and life? Seek him. Turn to him. The natural man recognizes not the things of God. But the spiritual mind is life and peace. Oh, friends, seek him. Turn to him for grace and for life while he may still be found. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the great Lamb of God with power to cleanse us, to wash us. Doesn't matter what you've been, what you've done, what you've had done to you. In Christ, there is the great fountain of life to wash us and to bless us. Again, the Saviour says this, "They shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn." Oh, friends, a prophecy spoken particularly of the Jews and in the last days, but how applicable to us. Have you pierced Christ? Have you wounded his heart? Have you rejected his testimony? Have you wounded his heart? Oh, friends, he cares for us. He watches for us. He loves us. He shows great kindness and patience toward us, each one of us. He showers us with blessings and benefits, and yet we curse him, and yet we trample his law underfoot, and yet we throw his goodness behind our back. How careless, how foolish. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Ask him for grace. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him for a washed spirit. Turn to him for grace and for mercy while he may still be found. For his sake, amen.